Greetings, Cavs true believers. It's me, Chris, and this is Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. Real quick, I got a great interview coming up with my guest, Damon Kamen, who we talk all about Cavs stuff. And actually, this is going to be a preview for Game 3, which should be happening Friday night in Toronto. The Cavs are up 2-0. They killed them again. Shades of 2016, although this year I think they're going to go up to Canada and lay waste, making everybody in Jurassic Park, the Turban guy, and all their other super fans cry, be sad, whatever you want to say, cliche line, gone extinct, Raptors, yada yada, etc., Drake, horrible, you know, we the North. I love Toronto, honestly, but let's just face it, much like the Hawks and much like, well, whatever team Jeff Teague plays for, whether it's the Hawks or the Pacers, the Cavs just own the Raptors. And by the Cavs, I mean the 2016 world champions, defending champions in the playoffs, LeBron, Kyrie, Kev, Tristan, JR, and the rest of the gang, the Bench Bunch, Fry Island. Anyways, we talk about all kinds of great stuff. So check it right after this. It's going to be me and my man, Damon Kamen. Does your life lack the human interaction that only spreading your message, your creative thought from the top of your brain into your mouth and into the ears of another human being, creating a soul-to-soul connection that can only be felt through interpersonal communication and the game of basketball? This is Bill Walton imploring you, urging you, telling you right now to call my friend Chris, leave a message for his show. His phone number is 330-822-2296. It's a fantastic way to reach out to your fellow basketball lover and let him know that the love that you feel for this great game of ours can be felt by all the listeners through the wonder and the wizardry of electronic communication going across on the internet, being downloaded into your phone, and hearing your voice be heard by the hundreds, the thousands, the millions of listeners and lovers of the game of basketball just by calling the number 330-822-2296 and throwing down your basketball take for the world to hear, because the lovers of basketball are much like the fine grain of a leather that's created from a cow's behind, that is cultivated through the mass that they eat by greedy grass that is grown by the sun through photosynthesis, and the sun is like basketball, bringing light to all of us. So remember, call 330-822-2296. Far out, man. On the line right now from a yet-to-be-determined sponsor, it's available if you want to pay me money. This will be your segment where I say on the blank line. Like, for example, on the Thirsty Dog Brewing Company hotline or the Hopping Frog Brewery hotline. Whatever. You get the point. It's none of those things. It's not sponsored, but if you give me money, it will be. Contact me for rates. C4podcast@chrisclem.net. With that being said, on the line is the man, the myth, the frequent contributor to the show, Damon Kamen.
And now, a call from
Damon the Dog Walker! Kamen!
Hey, all you Clem heads out there. Welcome. Welcome to a wonderful post-victory podcast.
Yeah, man, that was quite the win, wasn't it?
I mean... It didn't even look like they were exerting themselves. I mean, I shouldn't be blown away, but I mean, it has just been night and day these past two games against the Raptors compared to the last, two or three months before this. I mean, they just look, they look like the team that we know they can be, but they just haven't shown us for so long. So it's been awesome to see. I mean, they just manhandled them today. There was never a lapse where we let them back into the game. There was never a time where we let them cut it to within 2 points. You know, I mean, they look like the Cavs that we know and love.
They look like the team that started out game one by Kyrie throwing a lob off the backboard to LeBron. It was like, how could they be more disrespectful in game two? And some of those threes LeBron took were just like humiliating. Just dribbling 5 times, taking the worst possible shot, and then making it. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, and when LeBron is shooting the way that he's been shooting, I mean, there's literally nothing you can do. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, that's usually the one thing you can kind of be like, well, maybe, you know, hopefully his jumper isn't working, which oftentimes it wouldn't be. And his 3-point shooting was always suspect. And every time I saw him chuck up a three, I would think, no. And I mean, it's not the case anymore. The dude is just shooting the lights out. And I don't have that, like, sudden, you know, fear when I see him take a shot from on the arc. He's just been nailing it, and he's just completely unguardable when that part of his game is going. So yeah, just treating the Raptors like they're not even there, and now with Lowry down for who knows how long. I mean, you know. I didn't think it would be possible that they could sweep this team, but right now they're looking just unstoppable.
But Damon, they got Serge Ibaka. PJ Tucker is going to be the LeBron stopper. Bill Simmons said that they had a chance to go to the finals. What are you talking about?
Yeah. PJ Tucker, that was something that, first of all, he was an NBA player that, I had never heard before in my life, and suddenly he was the difference maker on this Toronto Raptors team. PJ Tucker is the player that this team has always needed, a tough-minded defensive player who can shoot the three. He is a player that is going to really change, you know, the makeup of this team.
He's not. He's two or three inches shorter than LeBron and not as strong as him. So regardless of how great of a defender is, he's still – you know, you're going up against a guy with some of the most athletic athleticism in NBA history who will just shoot right over you.
Yeah, look, Ibaka was good for them. I mean, he's a good player. He's a strong player who also has a jumper, which, you know, you don't see a whole lot of. But yeah, PJ Tucker, I mean, who is this guy? Give me any of the abbreviated names. Give me CJ Miles. Give me PJ Tucker. They don't strike fear into the hearts of Cavs fans.
I think Serge Ibaka is really great. After the Cavs have a 15-point lead, he suddenly starts making all these shots, and you're like, whoa, Serge Ibaka has 15 points. But they all happen after the game is way out of reach, and basically nobody's rotating over anymore.
Yeah, it's almost like the Cavs have a Serge protector. am I right? Anyway.
That is a corny line, even for you.
Hey, I can't help it. These dad jokes, I can finally start implementing them because I am actually a dad, so it works. It works now. How about DeMar DeRozan? The stinking for the second time in the playoffs. What was he, 0-for-9 at one point in this game?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be, you know, their Jimmy Butler.
Here's the problem, though. DeMar DeRozan, I don't get why people act like he's this great player because he got voted to start the All-Star game. You know who else got voted to start the All-Star game? B.J. Armstrong. But I wouldn't put him down as one of the best point guards of the 90s. It's like people think DeMar DeRozan is this great player, but the only really great player they have is Kyle Lowry. And DeMar DeRozan is a good enough shooter that gets enough shots that he's going to get in the 20s almost every game. But he's never going to, like, beat a team, especially not a team where most of the players are better than him.
Well, and I, leading up to this series, I was giving DeMar DeRozan much more respect than I was giving Isaiah Thomas, and I feel foolish for doing that now, because I was, and I'm still not worried about the Celtics or if we were to see them, but I, you know, was completely of the mindset of, you know, Isaiah Thomas, he's 5'8". You can stop that guy in the playoffs. He's too small. And, I mean, just look what he's doing. And then there's DeMar DeRozan, who I was like, you got to worry about DeMar DeRozan because, you know, you can't just double team Kyle Lowry like we did to Paul George because DeMar DeRozan will make you pay. And he's not. I mean, you're absolutely right. He's just not that impressive of a player. I mean, you get him enough shot volume, yeah, he can put up some points. But
I mean, he's athletic, but the fact that he can't shoot threes and the fact that he's not a great defender are really hurting him in this series because they'll give him that three, but as soon as he starts looking to make a move, he's getting doubled right on the three-point line. He gets rid of the ball, and then after that in the shot clock, basically the only time he gets the ball is he's outside the three-point line. And, I mean, he makes a lot of tough twos, but he's not going to take that three. He's not like the Cavs where 90% of the time they'll have like 2 3-point shooters in the corner and they're good enough that if they get it, that's not a bad shot.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, and look, I feel bad for the guy. Obviously, he went through a really hard time with some acne at some point in his life. And, I mean, he's just got some rough skin, that kid. And I feel bad for him. His teen years were not probably, you know, We're pretty rough with prom pictures and everything, but you know, you're just not that great of a player there, DeMar.
He also looks kind of like him and Evan Turner, who's not on the Raptors, but they both look like that this chameleon guy from an issue of the Ninja Turtles comic book, with the eyes like almost on the side of his head. I don't know why I just did that. Nobody can see what I'm doing but you.
For the listeners at home, Chris put his hands on either side of his head in a bulbous kind of formation. So,
thank you for explaining that.
Sure, sure. I like to think that I can, you know, really paint a picture.
I feel like the Raptors, except for Kyle Lowry, who bounced around a lot before he really got a chance to show what he could do, are all guys who have been way overhyped for the majority of the time they've been in the NBA. Like
kind of like the Toronto Raptors.
The team itself?
Yeah, the team itself. They've always been, you know, just there, and they've just never been good enough, even when Bosch was there. Yeah. And then as soon as Bosch went out of the Heat, he was suddenly this guy that was everyone was saying was completely overhyped. You know,
he was a world beater for Toronto. But when your best player in franchise history is Vince Carter, that's like a perfect encapsulation of what you're saying about the Raptors. Like, you think they're better than they actually are.
Well, Vince Carter's going the way of Moses Malone right now. I mean, how old is the guy? He's going to become like the Undertaker. He's going to be the greatest basketball player of all time just because he's going to play till he's 55, like Julio Franco or something.
Exactly.
The guy is still out there playing, and like he gets minutes, and I watch him, and I'm like worried for him because it looks like
he played good in the first round.
Yeah, no, I mean, and he still has ups, but there are also times where he's running around, and you're like, Vince, you're not in this right now, man. Like, like your sciatica's acting up or something. Is he 40 yet? He's got to be
40.
Real close.
You're right, though. He is like the Undertaker. He knows his Hall of Fame resume is not that good, so he figures if he can play like 25 seasons and set the record for that, he'll be locked in for that.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's like Kevin or something.
Right. I mean, and one of the most prolific dunkers of all time. But yeah, when that's your greatest franchise player ever, you know, you don't really have much else to match up against the likes of, you know, Celtics, Lakers, 76ers, teams like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, those teams all been around a while, so I'll cut them some slack. It's what.
True.
Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, Damon Stoudemire, Lowry, and DeRozan are like their all-time starting five, if you could pick five players.
Yeah, I guess Damon Stoudemire. Eesh.
Marcus Camby?
Yeah.
I don't know. History probably looks more favorably on Marcus Camby.
Yeah, was Vin Baker on the Raptors for a while? Or was
They had one season of Hakeem Olajuwon.
They did?
At the tail end of his career, yeah. Like, Patrick Ewing played for the Sonics for a year, and Olajuwon played for the Raptors for a year.
Wow, I do not remember that at all. Shaq played for us for a year.
Yeah, he played for teams in the NBA for a year.
Yeah. I'm looking at my Shaq Cavs jersey right now as we speak.
Oh, really?
Something. Yeah, I found it. I found it at a Marshalls or something, and I was like, "I'll always like this. This will never get old."
The best parts about Inside the NBA on TNT is that you have two Phoenix Suns legends there every night, and Charles Barkley and Shaq.
Yeah, that's right. The big cactus, and then a cactus.
What, in Cleveland?
I don't know. It's Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. The big cactus and the wide cactus. I don't know. They always call him Fran on there.
Yeah. Charles Barkley really, really inflated again. Found all that weight that he put off.
He's not going to be. What was he doing like 2 years ago? Jenny Craig commercials?
I don't know.
It was something.
Yeah. I don't know. Gambling must not be going too well for him right now, though. It's like Matthew Perry on Friends. You know, you could always tell when he was on drugs because he was really skinny and looked pretty good. And then when he was fat and slovenly, it was because he wasn't on drugs and miserable. The same thing with Chuck. When Chuck's, when he's thin, he's not gambling and living a decent lifestyle. And then when he's fat, he's back off the wagon.
That's good comparison. I didn't think we'd be talking about Matthew Perry's run on Friends tonight, but
if you give me long enough, I'll always bring it back to Matthew Perry. You know, just don't make a Selma Hayek reference.
If you could compare the Raptors' fortune to Matthew Perry in the rest of this series, what would it be? Held together, Matthew Perry on drugs though, things are bubbling bad under the surface, or just complete mess on the outside.
I feel like, the Raptors are a lot like Matthew Perry in that people really expected him to do something after Friends. You know, he had kind of a heyday where Friends, he was going strong, and then they were like, you're going to do good for yourself. And then, he just didn't at all.
What about the whole 10 yards? Isn't that the movie he was in?
Hey, the whole 9 yards was
great.
But then the whole 10 yards came out, which was awful.
Was
But then there's also the one where he marries Selma Hayek.
Fools Rush In.
Fools Rush In. I love every movie from the 90s just about. It's hard pressed to find one that I don't like.
Have you ever seen
I still quote the movie Nell.
Nell?
Yeah. Tay and Sweeten.
This is a movie that used to be on USA late at night all the time. It was called Fakin' the Funk. Have you ever seen that?
I have not. I can't say I've had the pleasure.
An Asian kid who was adopted by a black family in South Central LA.
Starring Matthew Perry?
No, Matthew Perry. I'm just thinking of 90s movies in general.
Yeah, there was something on TV that they were doing like 1997, a year in review, and it was 20 years ago. And like, I still feel compelled to describe things like, oh, come on, man, it's the 90s, because it's like we've reached the peak, the pinnacle of technological and societal perfection. It's the 90s, man. Which always reminds me of Suburban Commando.
Oh, nice.
With, terrific Hulk Hogan movie, but when he moves the biker's like race car away from the driveway, the guy comes over and he's like, and Hulk's like, let me guess what you're gonna do to me. You're gonna pound my face. And then he goes on to this whole thing. He's like, what are you, nuts? It's the 90s. We're gonna sue you. Great moment in Suburban Commando.
What's your preferred Hulk Hogan vehicle of the early 90s, Suburban Commando or Mr. Nanny?
Suburban Commando all the way. No question.
I think I like Mr. Nanny better just for the fact that Sherman Helmsley has a role in the movie.
Well, but Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Undertaker are in Suburban Commando.
Good point.
Yeah,
he's got
dead man, Ramsey.
Yeah, what's his name?
The one of you guys never talk.
Shep Ramsey.
Shep Ramsey, that's right. Suburban Commando. So good. I was frozen today. Christopher Lloyd. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. This just should show how much fear we as diehard fans feel for the rest of this series involving the Raptors team. That we're talking about the movie Suburban Commando.
Well, you know, the Cavs are really, you know, like Shep Ramsey. The Toronto Raptors are a lot like Matthew Perry. Shep Ramsey would destroy Matthew Perry in a fight.
I like that comparison. I know LeBron friends with Ric Flair, but he has more in common with Hulk Hogan, including his insistence that he doesn't ever want anybody to acknowledge he's losing his hair.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. This is a man who we are supposed to believe, are led to believe, are compelled to believe that is one of the most aware individuals in professional sports. He knows everything about what's going on around him at all times. And yet, we are all subjected to his hair. And just shave it, man. What? I've been saying this for like a year now on this podcast. I'm a big proponent of please just shave your head. It's enough is enough. You tried that fake spray hair stuff at one point. It didn't work. You got called out on it. Suddenly your hair thinned out again, and it just, ooh. You gotta do something about it,
There's
man.
There's nothing better than seeing his new transplanted sections every year at the beginning of the season when it's still all...
Oh, the scars on the back of his head, you mean?
Yeah. And he's got it like, just a little bit better each time, and that another little mark in the back.
Yeah, because he... I know. What are we supposed to believe those scars are? Those are from his rough and tumble days in Akron. Then just suddenly appeared later. Yeah, he couldn't just do it all at once, right? And just show up with like a huge afro. Or maybe he should. Maybe that would be like the best thing he could have done was just suddenly be like, and just never say anything about it. Like whenever anyone asks a question, just pretend like we're all crazy. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. My hair's always been like this. It's just, you know, I've just been growing it out now.
Yeah, I just grew it out in the summer. It's fine. I spent 2 weeks in Miami growing my hair out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. At the same time, I walked backwards into a ceiling fan and cut the back of my head up. So that's, you know, I mean, but it was a good summer and a rough summer, you know.
Maybe he got in a fight with Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He was able to get him with those hedge clippers.
You're a dead man, LeBron. What do you guys never talk?
I guess I'll ask you like two questions about Game 3.
Okay.
In a personal conversation we had, you said that you were really worried about the Cavs before the playoffs started. Like, you didn't think they were going to get, out of even to the Eastern Conference Finals?
So leading up to this series, I knew what they were capable of. We all knew what this team is capable of. And you have to be careful to not compare last year to this year, because this year isn't last year. Last year isn't this year. But... you know, at the end of last year, I felt a lot better about where the team was going into the playoffs. I remember being concerned after the Detroit series and saying out loud several times, they can't beat the Warriors playing like this. But this year was bad. I mean, they hadn't had a good game for 2 months leading up to the postseason. And then we faced the worst team in the entire playoffs and could have easily been down 3-1. I was just going off of what I saw, and they hadn't shown me anything.
I would disagree with you on one thing. I would say the Blazers, Portland Trail Blazers without Nurkic, are worse than the Pacers.
I still disagree, just because they at least have two legitimate stars on that team in McCollum and Lillard.
On a sidebar, how and why are people say CJ McCollum's a legitimate star now? He puts 21 a game and he plays terrible defense.
Well, he is. Yes, you're right. We were just dogging DeMar DeRozan, and if we're going to dog DeMar DeRozan, we can't laud
the worst version
CJ McCollum
of
again. Another initialed man, the CJ McCollum. But yes. I mean, you know, he is a legitimate scoring like threat. Like the Pacers didn't have another one of those.
You were
worried about Miles Turner.
I was more worried about Miles Turner because he worked TT in the regular season, but he disappeared. But it's weird because for all the complaining Cavs fans do, our third option averaged like 20 points a game as much as these people's like first or second option. And I think we got so caught up in how bad they were playing on defense. Like the Cavs offense, if any other time in NBA history, the Warriors didn't exist, would be the greatest offense in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it was easy to lose sight of how great they were. But again, we hadn't seen how great they were for so long. And I'm watching that Pacers series and I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, we're getting by against these guys. Like, you know, we're able to make up for playing horrible defense against this team. But they did improve a little bit every single game. But I was still worried. And I, you know, but then, you know, they show up against Toronto, well-rested. And I thought for sure they were going to come out rusty and lazy. Because, you know, they've shown that after a long break, that first game back, they don't come out real strong. But they were the exact opposite. And, I mean, now they look better than I remember.
That's true. And I think part of the reason they look better is because they're not going to be a great defensive team. I mean, they're trying harder. They could be a good defensive team, but they don't have, like, there's no Gobert or individual guys like Draymond Green. You know what I mean? But I think the practice helps. The fact that they can game plan, because they had a completely different plan against DeRozan than they did last year in the playoffs, where they basically swarmed Lowry, but now they're swarming DeRozan, which is good because he has the ball in his hands more and he seems like he's more prone to mistakes. And the fact that they could practice, I think, has made a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. That was something that, you know, you kept hearing people like Brian Windhorst talking about. And you know, there were a lot of these things that are, you know, looking back now, hindsight, they were legitimate reasons, but they started to just sound like excuses after the same things we had seen kept happening over and over again. And it got to that point where it's like, okay, you know, at what point do these stop being, you know, suspicions, and do they just start becoming excuses because we don't want to say they're just not, you know, playing the way that they need to be playing? They're just not as good. And I was, that's where I was. And, you know, it was a little alarmist, but I'd like to think that it was kind of based in just, you know, it was a results based, concern.
No, it was a real concern because I was also concerned. I just thought the level of competition was so poor, it wouldn't make a difference.
And obviously you're proven to be right. And I was, you know, and thank the Lord, because this feels a lot better.
I didn't think they would play this good, though. I thought they would still be winning like 6-point, 5-point games against the Raptors, not just blowing them off the court the first two games. But they did that last year, and then they lost 2 in Toronto, so let's not forget about that.
Well, and the Raptors look soft, too. And what happened to Valanciunas in the second half? I mean, that dude was destroying us in the first half.
Well, I feel like that was...
Not destroying us, but...
That was... I'm sure they were giving, you know, let Valanciunas go off. I don't think it was like Jason Lloyd tweeted this out, that Valanciunas' half looked like Mozgov against the Warriors a couple years ago, where he had like 35 points.
Just about to say that.
Yeah, and I was, I mean, we're all thinking that watching it. Like, this isn't going to matter in the grand scheme of things. Nobody can guard him, but better post him up and waste 20 seconds on the shot clock for him to score than for them to catch back up in the game.
Yeah, well, like in the first game, they were doing a side-by-side comparison of P.J. Tucker's numbers during the season and then P.J. Tucker's numbers in that game. And they were like, look, he's already got 11 points and he only averaged 3 for the season. It's like, yeah, and if P.J. Tucker's having a good game for you, but nobody else is, it doesn't really matter. You're still losing by 15.
That's what the Raptors, if I was a Raptors fan, and I'm ignoring my Cleveland bias, my homerism, The one thing that would really worry me is that LeBron can definitely play like this in every game, and you have to think that Kyrie and even Love and even J.R. Smith, none of these guys have really gone off. Like, Channing Frye was hot today, but Kyrie shot horrible, and all the shots are spread around, but they have yet to have, like, a star performance from anybody else, and they're still destroying them.
Yeah, and Kyrie is passing more. Ty Lue must have, somebody must have gotten to him and said, he had like 6 assists in the first quarter, I think.
It was crazy looking how
in this game
they were just passing up. Like, there was one possession where I think it was LeBron kicked out to, I don't know if Thompson, he didn't have it inside. He passed it out to Love, ball faked, passed it to Smith, ball fake, passed it to Kyrie, wide open in the corner, and nailed the three. And I was like, man, when they're passing like that, they're almost impossible to beat.
Right, and it makes you wonder why they forget to do it sometimes. Like, you know, like, you've seen this work. Like, how are you not, like, try and do that again? You know, this obviously isn't working.
You get more open, and everybody shoots better off the catch than the dribble. I don't care what Kyrie Irving thinks.
Yeah, or J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
You know, he likes the and actually Korver says that he's a better bad shooter than he is a wide open shooter.
I can see that about Korver. It seems like he's best going off, getting like half an inch off those screens than when he's just waiting there.
Well, Korver's saying that about J.R.
Oh, well,
he was like, he's like, you see J.R. take garbage shots, and you're like, that was a horrible shot, and then swish.
Well, that's
his words,
that's true.
Not mine.
What did J.R. say? I like taking open shots, but I like taking guarded shots even better last year in the playoffs.
Yeah. He looks bored with open shots, you know.
I think,
man, it's good to have him back.
I was going to say, that's another thing that I think is why the Cavs are playing so much better, is he was awful when he did play this year, and he was out for half the year, and when he did play, he was not good in the regular season at all.
No.
And he's
no.
been good in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, we don't win game 7 without him, you know. I mean, he's...
Well, I was talking about this year.
No, I know. I'm just talking about how valuable he can be when he is playing well, you know. And I mean, there were... I mean, what, 2 years ago, he was our second scoring option at some parts of the postseason because of all the injuries. I mean, you know, it's really, the team is so, people, I don't know how I can understand people say that our bench is weaker this year. I think our bench is so much stronger. We have so many options that if you play the matchups right, or if Ty Lue can kind of get a feel for who's hot, I mean, any one of those guys can catch fire and really, really, you know, be that fourth option that can, you know, just change the game for you. And we have like 5 of those guys.
I said this on the last podcast. Everybody acted like Mozgov and Deli are the reason why the defense is worse now, but neither of those guys were really playing that much in the playoffs. Like, Deli was, but not in the finals. Really.
Mozgov was not at all.
Mozgov wasn't at all. So it's like Channing Frye was still playing backup center last year, and it didn't seem to be a problem, except for against the Warriors series. Why is it a concern now? And it's like LeBron stepped up his defense. He's in the passing lanes. He's all over the place, and everybody else has too. And like you said, it's crazy to think that, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we weren't sure if this team was even going to be able to – they didn't even look good against the Pacers, like you said.
No, they didn't. Yeah, you know, it's a big sigh of relief to see this level of play again, because we all knew that they were capable of it, you know. And now, I mean, you know, this was, how excited were we for Derek Williams, you know, and the guys off the rotation, the Derek Williams was like, oh my God, we just found ourselves, you know, the next big piece. And then he got hurt, and he just hasn't found his way back in the rotation. Richard Jefferson's getting no minutes right now.
Yeah, Richard Jefferson and Shumpert switched spots after game 1 of the Pacers series.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I think Ty Lue's a guy who will play matchups. I mean, obviously he had no problem sitting Kyrie in Love for an entire fourth quarter against the Pacers, but, you know, I mean, he seems like he's got a good handle on what he wants to do with his talent, which, by the way, makes me so hope that we're going to face Mike Brown in the finals. Because if there was one thing I always said about Mike Brown, it was that he couldn't do shit with his rotations and got outcoached in just about every matchup.
Mike Brown is as a longtime Cavs fan, as we both are, Mike Brown is probably the worst at in-game changes. He's not good at reacting. Like, you prepare from game to game.
Yeah.
He's good at that. But in-game changes, like, if you get on a run, he's not doing anything to correct it. He's got his game plan for each game, and that's it. And I saw so many Cavs games where if they would have just done something different, I still remember it was the series against the Magic. And
Van Gundy.
Yeah, he made so many corrections. And there was
fucking Van Gundy.
He was like, and I get it, your rotations, you're right or bad, because this guy, I can't believe I'm going to say he was a good defender, but in this situation, he was. They had Zerbiak on Rashard Lewis, and he was playing decent defense on him. But because Mike Brown's like, it's the end of the game, we got to have Ben Wallace out here. And he put Ben Wallace.
He's reached his minutes.
On Rashard Lewis, and Ben Wallace got burned by him, where Zerbiak was keeping up with him on a screen. He wins the game with a wide open three. And I was thinking, Mike Brown, just because that's what you normally do, ride the guy who's playing better defense instead of putting in our 36-year-old center. What are you thinking, man?
He has no instinct for that, which, you know, again, like Luke Walton was an amazing interim guy, went out last year. And you know, Mike Brown, that guy just had no feel for in-game decision-making. And literally, remember he had a chart that he went off. Like he went off almost verbatim. Like he did not deviate from his chart. If you know, so and so just went on a 10-point scoring run. Like, well, you just met according to my pie graph here. It's time for you to come out. So you got to come out regardless.
Yeah, he had charts for timeouts too.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's a great defensive coordinator.
He's a great basketball mind. Just not in game.
No. Which again, do I hope we can see him on the sidelines with his stupid Mr. Potato Head look on his face, trying to figure out how to combat our lineup. But I have no idea what's going on with the Kerr situation. You probably do.
That's my Mike Brown impression. Just blanking.
This is mine. For the listeners at home, this is going to be great, but...
Yeah, you look like him every time he says something to the refs.
he looks like he's constantly just wanting the ref to see that he's about to start laughing at how ridiculous he thought, but he's just holding this stupid look on his face, like, see this? I'm about to laugh because I thought that was, you see this mouth open, I'm about to, he's a dummy.
Well, the Kerr thing, I think it's what, complications from back surgery, and now he's having constant migraines and stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because before it was his back, now it's his mind because of his back.
Yeah, well, good, because yeah, we'll need every edge we can get, although Utah should give him a hard-fought series anyway.
Utah will play hard, but it's basically if Utah can get them to slow down enough, they have a chance, but it's probably not going to happen.
No. And then it's going to be interesting to see how Houston and San Antonio wind up.
San Antonio won tonight, huh?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, they did. 121-96.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, because I was just about to say, San Antonio looks old. I mean, they are old.
The same thing. I was like, I don't know why people think San Antonio's so good. They're like a better version of the Hawks the last couple of years in the East. Like a really good regular season team, but.
Oh, yeah. Kawhi went off for 34. Tony Parker at 18. Tony Parker, man. Geez, just when you think like the wheels are gonna fall off, the guy still has that second gear. He's so fast. Is there a better team in the league at finding just absolute no name players and turning them into legitimate contributors? Who the hell is Jay Simmons? I mean, where do these guys come from that suddenly just start playing for them?
They just pick him up. Oh, man. That's weird. I was just looking at the box score for the Cavs game, and I was like, oh, that explains it. I was wondering what happened with Love in the third quarter, but he had 4 fouls, and then the Cavs pulled away by so much he didn't put the starters back in except LeBron.
Yeah. And what do you think about Darren? How do you like Darren? sitting in.
Oh, he's I think that game in Miami where he got to go off and pretty much be like Darren Williams of the Utah Jazz era was was great, because he looks like a different guy in the playoffs. And that's the guy who gave an interview where he said Kyle Korver told him when they came to the team that they don't practice ever. And he was like, okay. And he goes, I was confused by it too when I came here. And he said that he thought they would be a lot better than they were, but now that they've practiced and they're in the first round, got through the first round, he feels like they're a completely different team.
Yeah, well, they look it for sure. And he's probably, what, the best backup point guard in the league?
Oh, yeah. I mean he could start for like 10
teams. He could start for half the league. Yeah. I mean, he's huge. I feel like people were more excited about Derek Williams than they were D. Will, who dethroned the D. Will of old. I knew that guy was going to show up in the playoffs for us, because, I mean, he actually runs the team offense better than Kyrie does.
Oh, well, yeah. That's why Delia looked so good at times, because he actually ran the offense.
Right. Oh, sweet Delia. I wouldn't have given to see my sweet, sweet Delia in this round.
Long live Delia.
Long live Delia. May he always prosper. Miss him dearly.
Before we end on the wistful remembrance of Delly, I guess my final question is, you remember last year, the Cavs, they won by like 30 points the first two games, then they lost in Toronto. What is your prediction for the rest of the series? I have to say, I would be shocked if they lost either game in Toronto the way this has gone, and like you said, Lowry's gone, but I want to get your take, Damon the Dog Walker himself.
So obviously I can't just go completely off of what I've seen, because that's what I was going off of, and I was all doom and gloom, and now they're looking great, so I can't suddenly just be like, oh, they're unstoppable. I think there's a good chance that one of those games in Toronto, they just have an off shooting night. We know that is possible with this team, and the Jurassic Park, as they call it, can really, they can really get up for games. So Toronto has a good fan base. I don't know. They're looking like they could sweep, just like you said. They're looking like that, and I would not be surprised. But I also wouldn't. I could see them dropping one of those games in Toronto and finishing out in five. It's hard to say, it was such a small sample size. I want to say everything's fixed and they're good to go. But we'll see, we will find out soon enough.
All right, man. I'm going to go with the Cavs. I'm sticking Cavs in six, but I'd be shocked if that actually happened. Honestly, after tonight, I think they're going to sweep. If Lowry's hurt, they're done. I mean,
oh, yeah, I didn't even consider that. Yeah, it's a sweep if Lowry can't play. Although, again, sometimes we just play down to our opponents. I bet you that – you know what? I bet you Lowry sits one game and that's the game they win. And that's the one game they win, and then we close them out in five. I'm going to say Cavs in five.
All right. You got anything to plug? I don't know.
Yeah, butts.
Oh, edgy comedy from Damon. Are you going
to
be
not a good time to then plug my business right after that? No, nothing to plug. I am constantly just about to be getting back into stand-up comedy, so keep an eye out for that.
I was going to say, when's that happening?
When I see you next, I'm going to tell you it's going to be happening really soon. So next time I see any of you listeners out there, it's going to be like right after I'm done talking to you. That's, the next time is when I'll probably be doing stand-up.
I'm going to, if the Cavs make it to the finals again, I'm going to book a show in Cleveland and I'm going to make you be on it.
Okay. Well,
we could do a live podcast, but we'll do like actual stand-up. So you have to do it.
Okay, great. Hey, I just need someone to give me an excuse. And if I have something I can circle on a calendar, my wife can't get mad. So
I'm going to book everybody from Up Late with Steve Guy except Steve Guy.
Bring in Q. Bring in Chris Van Vliet.
Fly him up from Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Let's book that now and say that it's just going to happen. Let's just keep the optimism going.
They're going to be in the finals. We'll figure something out. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Christopher.
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.